Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 22, I want to talk to you for a few moments this morning. Thank you for praying for us. Pastor Joy and I attended our conference in Charlotte. From there, we flew to Florida, ministered on Sunday morning and Sunday night in Hollywood, Florida, and then in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and then flew back on Friday. Well, what'd you do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday? Can't you figure that out? Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently upon Him. You know, things can become so, an example, things can become so routine. Church can even become so routine. Every morning we had the same breakfast. Scrambled eggs, sliced avocado, strawberries, blueberries, water, and coffee. What'd you have the next day? Scrambled eggs, sliced avocado, sliced strawberries, water, and coffee. What'd you have Wednesday? Scrambled eggs. Okay, you got it. Same thing over and over and over again. How many of you go into the restaurant, you walk in there, you walk up to the counter, and they don't even have to ask you. They see you so much, they know what you eat. They just throw it on the counter and say, $5.26. And you pay for your biscuit and your coffee and you get out of there. Sometimes things can become so routine. That's what God wants to shake up in us. We've got to get to the place where church is not routine, where serving God is not routine and mundane, where it's alive and fresh and offers something new to me. That's why I love this church. No Sunday's the same. Amen? And that's why I love you guys. All of y'all look different. All of y'all look different. And so we come here today and we hear from God and He's talking to us about our time. Ephesians chapter 5 verses 15 to, I think I made a typo there, 15 to probably 21. See then that you walk circumspectly. I'm using the King James for those who are my age and above. See then that you walk circumspectly. Circumspectly. What are you doing when you're walking circumspectly? Not walking around in circles. You're aware of everything going on in your circumference. Everything around you. You're aware that's what's taking place. He says, see to it that you walk circumspectly, not as a what? Fool, but as wise. Redeeming the time, verse 16, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. That's a reference to the foolish things that we do. He says, make sure that you understand that you don't walk foolishly, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine. This is not a message on alcohol, okay? Tell your neighbor, he's not talking about you, okay? This is not a message on your Chablis, okay? Is that right? I don't know nothing about wine. This is not your Mad Dog 2020, okay? He says, but be not what? Drunk with wine. The parenthetical statement here is, wherein is excess? He says, but you need to be what? Filled with the Spirit. The new wine. Somebody say, new wine. And then he says, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another. Man, we have a hard time with that one. In the what? In the fear of God. In the reverential trust and respect that God has to be Lord over all your relationships. Man, there's some deep stuff there. So I love what he says about time in verse 16. Look at verse 16 again. He says, verse 16, he says, redeem the time. How many of you know when you redeem something, you cash something in for something else? In other words, God has given every one of us the very same thing, whether you've counted them up or not. You can check me, Google me if you think I'm wrong. There are 86,400 seconds in every day. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, I would, I just don't have the time. Can I just tell you something? You have been given the same thing that the busy person's been given. The person who doesn't get a lot done has been given the very same thing that the person who gets a lot done. You have been given the very same. You are allotted 24 hours in a season that we call what? A day. 86,400 seconds. You can get up early and get it done. How many of y'all like to get up early? I like to get up early, except this past week. Not early. I said to Pastor Joy, I said, what in the world are we going to do when we get back home? We didn't get out of bed till, are you promising you're going to tell anybody? 8 o'clock. Now, I pity the person who sleeps till 10 because you just got super convicted. Okay? We get up early. We get up early. We like to get up early. You know what? We're in the routine of getting up early. And so, listen, you have to understand that sometimes you can get a lot more done if you get up early. Sometimes some of you get up early and you get more done between 6 and 9 than some people get between 9 and 5. Come on. I just know I'm telling the truth. I know how some of you live. I know some of you personally enough to know some of your schedules are crazy. I'm looking at one right now who has a crazy schedule. Pastor Randy has a crazy schedule. But listen, when you're responsible for making sure that Chick-fil-A does have something to serve, and you got farmland, and you got family, and you got ministry, and you got other responsibilities, and people pulling from you in businesses that you don't even operate anymore because you sold them because you didn't want them anymore. But they're still calling you. Okay? We got business owners here. I'm looking at people who are in business for themselves. Raise your hand if you're in business for yourself. I see several people. Dr. Terry Hall there. The Shamley's in the back. Right here, second row next to Pastor Dave. Business for yourself. Raise your hands. Come on. Cornerstone Beauty over here. Listen. You operate on a different scale than other people. You don't punch a clock. You are the clock, okay? You have to rise up early, and you have to work late, okay? And I know if you're in business, you pay a sacrifice. You pay a sacrifice, but you have to be a person who can steward what? Your time. Now, some people will say this. Well, I tell you what, I don't want to be in business for myself. I just want to, listen, when I leave out every Friday, I'm gone. How many of y'all like that? Okay. When I leave out there at 5 o'clock, woo, I'm out of there. They ain't calling me. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Thank you. It takes all kinds of people to make the world go round. Okay. But we're talking about time. Time is what? Precious. And everybody's got the same thing. 86,400 seconds in a day. And the Bible says we're to do what? Redeem it. What do you think that God was saying when he said, redeem the time? He wasn't just saying, exchange it. He's not happy with you just using it. He wants you to use it wisely. So for clarity, let's shift gears to the New International Version. Same passage, Ephesians 5, 15 to 21. I didn't make a typo that time. Be careful then how you live. Not as unwise. At least he didn't call you a fool there. But as wise, okay? Making the most, somebody say the most, of every, somebody say every opportunity. Why? Because these are evil days. You got it. He says, listen, what I want you to do, tick, 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 tick. What I want you to do is make the most of every opportunity. And he says in verse 17, therefore, do not be foolish. Understand what God's will is. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18. There's so much packed in verses 18 to 21. Do not get drunk on wine. The King James says, makes it a reference to just excessive drinking. But here he says, this will lead you to what? Debauchery. Now, how many of you know without Googling what debauchery is? I know. You don't use that word. That's not a word in your vocabulary. So you're just like me. You had to look it up. Come on, somebody. Just look it up. Somebody say, look it up. You looked up the word debauchery.
He says it'll lead to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And then what happens? If you're filled with the Spirit, you speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs from the Spirit. And you make singing and music in your heart to the Lord. And you're always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you submit yourself one to another out of reverence for Christ. Look at verse 15. He says, be careful how you live. Be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Paul is calling us. He's calling us. He's mandating that you and I exercise caution. We exercise care in the manner in which we live. In the King James, he uses this word circumspectly. It has something to do with the reality of sober-mindedness so that you can know at all times what's going on around you. So that you can realize that there is an adversary out there. How many of you know there's a devil? Come on. And he is about doing what? Like Peter said, he's like a roaring what? Lion. He's seeking whom he may do what? Devour. He's on the lurk. He's trying his best to find a loophole where he can get into your life and bring destruction to you. So you got to walk wisely. In other words, you have to be aware of what's happening in the spirit around you. The atmosphere is charged with the demonic. The atmosphere is charged with the demonic. And they are on their mission to try to deter you and distract you and to pull you into situations and circumstances that will mean destruction for you. But thank God we've got somebody who's sitting on the right hand of the Father praying and interceding for us. Jesus is his name. He's interceding for the saints right now. He doesn't want you to be tripped up. That's why he taught you how to pray. Luke 11, the disciple said, Lord, when you pray, would you teach us how to pray like you pray? He said, when you pray, say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. So we pray for what? A biscuit. Come on, somebody. Pray for a biscuit, food, give us this day our daily bread, and what else? And forgive us. We need food, we need forgiveness, and we need divine leadership in our life. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from what? From evil. Why do you have to be delivered from evil? Because evil is out there to destroy you. Why? Because the Bible says so. The devil is on a mission to bring you destruction. His assignment, in case you've forgotten, his assignment is to make your life miserable. His assignment is to make you miserable. His assignment is to bring you to destruction. His assignment is to lure you in slowly and easily to your own self-destruction. Come on. That's what he wants to do. You say, well, I got this. No, you don't. The Bible warns you, for those who think you are above this, be careful, lest you what? Lest you stumble and fall. I don't see how he could ever do such a stupid thing. You know why? Because he's just like you. He was stupid. We're all stupid. That's why we are dependent upon this relationship that we have with the Father through Jesus, his Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Paraclete, has called alongside of us to lead us and to guide us. The Spirit of God is the one beside you, holding your hand, pleading with you, do the right thing, keep in step with my Spirit. And you got the ability to choose to step outside of that anytime you want to. You can step outside of the leadership of the Lord and his Spirit anytime you choose. And that's the reason. The reason for that is because you were created with a will. You don't have to have his leadership, but he says you need to be careful how you live. If you read verses 14 all the way up to verse 1 in the opening of this chapter in Ephesians, you will see the context here. He's talking about crazy living, foolish things, things that you shouldn't do. And he talks to us about those things. He says, man, don't you be like a fool. Be wise. He's talking about the manner in which you and I live. And Paul deals with us and calls us into accountability on several areas in our lives. He calls us into accountability on sexual immorality. Listen, here's a man, Paul, who's doing this under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost before a TV ever existed. He's calling us to purity before we ever got a chance to watch a movie. He's calling us to stay away from sexual immorality long before there was a Young and the Restless. Come on, somebody. I mean, think about it. When you watch soap operas, you know what you're doing? You're just watching other people indulge in immorality. That's all you're doing. And if you read this chapter wholeheartedly, he says it is foolish for you to even take your time and watch such foolishness. Have you read this chapter? You should have. You just got through it in Wednesday night Bible study on several weeks of Ephesians. He calls us out on impurity in our lives. He calls us out on greediness, being selfish. He calls us out on obscenities, and he calls us out on coarse joking. Now watch out now. I saw a pastor, man, so disappointed me the other day. I saw a pastor put something on Facebook and then put it at the bottom under comment, laugh out loud. I thought, man, what you laughing at that for? I thought, seriously, he's a worship pastor in this area. I could drive to his church in just a few minutes. He's a worship leader. And you know what he's putting on Facebook? Some obscenity, and then put a comment down at the bottom, laugh out loud. No, I didn't laugh out loud. You know what I said? Father, in the name of Jesus, would you touch his heart right now? Because he's compromising. Listen, friends, when you apply for a job today, they don't take your resume and throw it in the trash. You know what they do? They go to Facebook. And they look at your entries. Listen, young people. When you fill out an application for your first job, you know what they're going to do? Check your Facebook page out. They're going to find you on Instagram and see what you've been gramming, okay? What you've been Instagramming. They're going to see what your posts are, because you have put your character out there for everybody to see. They get more information off of your social media than they'll ever get off of you lying with an ink pen. That's why he says, listen, you got to be careful. You got to be careful about all of these obscenities and this even coarse joking. We live in a Jerry Springer culture, where television has become the place where now you can just watch it all day long. You can go to Maury, you can go to Jerry, you can go to any of them, and they'll parade people up there, and they'll say, we're going to find out in just a minute with the DNA. We're going to find out who the baby's daddy is. You know who the baby's daddy should be? The one who married the woman in the first place. Come on now. Because you shouldn't have babies if you're not married. And guess what? I'm aware I'm sitting in a house full of people have had babies before they were married. So I'm not pointing fingers at you. Welcome to the culture. But you don't have to do it again. You don't have to do it again. You don't have to do it again. You can say, you know what? I made a mistake. And I promise you, if you could talk to any woman who has had to suffer through raising a child on their own, they despise that. It's painful. It's expensive. It's embarrassing to have to stand there and say, I need a little help from the government here. And then it becomes a lifestyle, and you just have another and another and another. It doesn't have to be. Listen, I believe God's called me as a change agent for Northeastern North Carolina. And if we keep on doing the same old, we'll never excel into do what God's called us to do. So stop having babies unless you're married. Pastor, you're going to wreck the congregation. Half of them ain't going to show up next week. Yes, they will. You know what I've discovered? People want truth. Because you know what John said in chapter 8? Truth will set you free. People want truth. Talk to any mama. Talk to any woman who's gone through this. She'll tell you, man, if I had it to do over again, I would go a different route. I'd go a different route. And I also understand that there's no child born on this earth that was ever a mistake. Children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. Some of these babies that grew up in single parent homes will rise up to be the men and women of God, anointed by the fire of the Holy Ghost. They will have a message on their tongue of flame for the Lord Jesus Christ, and they got beauty for ashes. Come on, somebody. Beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for the spirit of heaviness. They know what it's like to sacrifice. They know what it's like to have to struggle. They know what it's like to be embarrassed. That's why I love our Celebrate Recovery people. Hold your head up, sit right on the front row. Say, I've got a problem with addiction, but I'm not going to stay there. I'm going to get out there and I'm going to do what God's called me to do. And I'm going to help people escape what I went through.
Y'all quiet this morning. You better redeem the time. We live in this Jerry Springer world where everybody gets up there and just puts all their nasty laundry on the TV for everybody to see. And you know what he says? He says, you shouldn't be doing that. You say, well, I don't do that. I just watch it. Read the verse. You shouldn't even be watching that. You shouldn't even be laughing at that. When's the last time somebody passed their cell phone to the... And you laugh at it. And you knew you just laughed at obscenities. You knew you just laughed at something that was common. You knew you just laughed at something that was vulgar. God says, man, you're wasting your time. No, God says, you're wasting my time. We have time here, beloved. We have time on this earth. Every one of us have been given the very same thing. Look at verse number 16. He says you need to do what? Make the most of every opportunity. Why? Because these are evil days. Evil days. Paul said, redeem it wisely. He said, because the days are evil. Paul didn't even have a clue that there would be a Mickey Mouse Club. Much less a Jerry Springer.
M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E, Mickey Mouse.
All those things are wonderful. Thank God for Mickey Mouse. Thank God for Barney teaching people to stay out of the street. Thank God for Sesame Street. Hey, come on. Give it up for Sesame Street.
Sunny day, everything's A-OK. Come on, guys, lighten up.
Thank God for things like that. I mean, you can get in the kitchen and cook a cake while your grandbaby can watch the show. Come on, somebody. You can do it. And there are wonderful things on television. And there are wonderful movies.
But that doesn't give you permission to watch the unlovely movies. That doesn't give you permission to watch the ungodly things. He says, you better make the most of every opportunity you've been given. Thank God for moms who screen what their children watch. Hey, look, you just set that thing in front of them. Them little boogers will figure that thing out and be watching stuff you can't even find. Okay? Taking them little fingers and start raking over that iPad. They can do it. You know, we used to think we had to find it for Ava. You know, here it is. No, just pass the thing back to her. She's in the baby seat. She'll figure it out.
Verse 17, Paul says, therefore, do not be foolish. And then the comma man comes and he says, but I want you to understand what the Lord's will is. This is the Lord's will. What is the Lord's will? The Lord's will is, verse 18, don't get drunk on wine because it leads to debauchery. What is debauchery? Debauchery simply means excessive indulgence in sensual pleasures. Excessive indulgence in sensual pleasures. Okay? Given primarily to bodily pleasures, the inclusion of alcohol, drugs, and sexual things for pleasure. See? He says this is what... If you don't understand the will of the Lord, he said, this is what will happen to you. It will lead you. Somebody say lead. that will lead you into debauchery. I mean, listen, for those of you who have been drunk before, I've been drunk before. Guess what? It wears off. And when it wears off, your normal mind comes back into being and you say, I used to say, go, Lord, how'd I get here? I'm serious. When did I get here? And then the scary thing is the recollection that you have no idea what happened in the prior hours to you getting there. Because see, what happens when you do avail yourself to get drunk or to get high or to be intoxicated by some substance, what you've done is you've placed yourself at the mercy of the devil, and with him, come on, there's no mercy. He would love nothing more. Jesus talked about it. John 10:10, the thief cometh only to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He would love nothing more than destroy you. There's no mercy to him. Life to the full is a life that is led by the Spirit of God. And Jesus said, but I have come to give you life to the full. Okay? He says, when you're redeeming your time that is influenced by the Holy Spirit, he says, this is what the result will be. There are three things. I'm going to be quick with them. Verse number 19 is the first. He says, when you redeem your time influenced by the Holy Spirit, it will result in three things. First is verse 19. You will speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs or songs from the Spirit. You will sing and you'll make music from your heart to the Lord. If you're led by the Spirit of God, you speak to one another in godly ways. Okay? If you're not led by the Spirit of God, man, you're subject to anything. Listen, I've had this to happen to me before. How many of you know that you can get real ticked off when somebody makes an error in a transaction where your money is involved? Okay? I mean, you're standing at the counter, and they rally, tally it all up, and they say, you know, here's so-and-so, and they give you money. You say, wait a minute, ho, you shorted me here. No, I didn't. I gave you, you say it, I gave you a 20. You say, no, you gave me a 5. No, I gave you a 20. Man, your blood pressure, if you start messing with somebody's money, blood pressure rises. Things become tense, and for a brief second, you're not a Christian, not interested in being one. Okay? Come on, have you ever been there? I've been to that place before where I got ready to speak out, and I said, oh, the Holy Ghost said, you're a preacher. Okay, oh God, I'm a preacher. Okay, ma'am, I gave you a 20. Okay? You follow what I'm saying? Because when you are not led by the Spirit, you're subject to speak to people in any kind of way. Thank you, sir. I was looking for a good way to say that. You're subject to speak to people in any kind of way. Okay? And Pastor, have you ever done that? I absolutely have. I've gotten in the car, and then the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, you know what? That was wrong. I turn back around, go back inside and say, ma'am, Can I apologize to you? And she says, well, sure. I said, what I said to you earlier was unbecoming for anyone, really, and unbecoming for a Christian. And I just want to apologize to the way I spoke to you. And it's, you know, I'm fine until she says, well, I know you pastored a church. Oh, oh, Lord, have mercy on me. I need that mercy message again. And Noli, sorry, brother, you're marked. You're marked. They know you. They know you. And guess what? If you claim to be a Christian, they know you. And you got to pass these tests. He says, listen, if you redeem your time properly, if you spend proper time with me, you're in the Word, you're listening to worship, you're encouraging your mind and your spirit. When you speak, when you have to speak to one another, you know what you'll do? You'll speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You'll be singing, making music in your heart. You know? It's different. I remember John Bevere saying, He was going down the highway one day. Like me, in the last message I preached to you on mercy, I got pulled by a cop. John Bevere said he was pulled by a cop one day, and he said, okay, Lord, help me here. And he said he knew he was wrong. And he says when he gets to the window, the guy doesn't say, you know, give me your license and your registration. He's got it sitting out the window. And the guy says, huh, sir? He says, thank you so much. The highway patrolman says, what? He said, please take my license, my registration. Thank you so much for stopping me. I was doing something foolish. I know I was driving crazy. Thank you, sir, for what you do. I give you, oh, Lord, thank you for this highway patrolman right now in the name of Jesus. Bless his family, Lord. The guy says, sir, have a good day. He gave him his, gave him, try that, okay? Some of y'all try that. But he said, what I recognized was, is I was under authority. The authority now is the man. He has the right to do anything he wants of me. He said, I figured I just will thank God for what he's doing, what he's supposed to do. And he said, the Lord just intervened for him. When you are walking in the Spirit, chances are what comes out of your mouth will not be bad. Okay? Speak to one another in psalms and hymns. If you're led by the Spirit, secondly, verse 20, he says, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. Somebody say everything. Everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, when you're led by the Spirit of God and you're spending your time nurturing that relationship with God. You know, you're in the Word. You've got the worship going on, encouraging. You're going to church. You're catching Bible study. You're doing what you can do to nurture yourself. You are building up your life so that when the time comes, when something happens to you that you really are not thankful for, you can say, God, I just thank you. I don't understand all this. But Father, I just thank you that you're in control of my life. I just thank you, God, that this doesn't catch you by surprise. I just thank you, God, that you know my beginning and you know my end and you know every step in between. God, I thank you for that. You know, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, he says this, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Everything. But my daughter got pregnant in everything. But my son was arrested in everything. Just start thanking God. Lord, I don't know how you're going to use this, but I trust you with everything. I trust you with everything. And I know that this is not pleasing to me, but God, I'm just giving you thanks that you're the one who can make a Romans 8:28 moment out of this, for I know that all things work together for the good of those who love you. God, I thank you today. Can you imagine what the day would be like if you get up just being thankful? God, I thank you today that you're going before me. You're leading me in paths of righteousness for my name's sake. Lord, I thank you, God, that you are leading me beside still waters, God. Thank you that the waters that I encounter today will be still waters. That you lead me today, God, in paths of righteousness. For your name's sake, I thank you, God, that today you're going to overflow my cup. Okay? Man, if you just begin to incorporate the Word of God into your time. You say, well, man, I'm in a hurry when I go out of the house in the morning. Turn the radio on worship. And, Lord, I just want to thank you today, God, that you're going before me. You don't have time to read that morning, but, you know, start with verses that are in your spirit. God, I thank you that Psalm 23 says that you are my shepherd. And today, Lord, I thank you that I'm not going to want. Come on, guys. Just time. I thank you, God, that I'm going to be able to lay down in green pastures today. I'm going to feast on the opportunities you have for me. See, I promise you, you'll get farther along with an attitude of thanks than you will anything else. The third thing, as we come to a close here, if your time is influenced by the Holy Spirit, verse 21 says, then you'll be able to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And primarily what he does here is he starts, if you read the chapter, he starts with family. He goes into a discourse on where it starts first between what? Husband and wife. If you're led by the Spirit, then you will mutually submit to one another as a couple. You're in this thing together, you know? I mean, God help those marriages that are just built on competition, you know? Guys, we have a struggle with that. You know why? Because we always want to be right. We always want to be right, and sometimes, guess what? We're not right. But he says, if you're led by the Spirit, then you're able to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. You're able to handle relationships. And can I just tell you something that I discovered a long time ago? Your wife really wants you to be the head. She really does. God wired her that way. If you don't believe so, go to a restaurant and sit down with her. What you want, honey? I don't know what you get. What'd you say? I said, what are you going to have? I don't know what you get. And then you finally released her the secret of what you're getting. She says, will you share yours with me? Okay. Yeah, I'll share with you. And guess what? She never gets any of it. She eats all the what she ordered. Not all the time. She says, can you help me finish mine? You say, yeah. Amen. Lighten up, dude. She really wants you to be the head. Stop making it a battle. She really wants leadership in her life. But can I take it a step further? She wants to be led by the leadership of the Spirit. Godly man. Godly man. Man who loves God. If you're led by the Spirit, verses 19 to 21, man, your time is spent with God, then it'll manifest in these ways. It'll manifest in these ways. You got to be a good user of time. Pastor Joy and I were staying in a Barnabas 21 property this past week. Someone blessed us with years ago. It's not a property that we own free and clear. It's a timeshare property, so we only have a portion of time to use. But we stayed there. And I passed by the laundromat. It didn't have a washer and dryer in every room, but on every hall, there was like a little mini laundromat with four washing machines and four dryers. And I passed by there one day this past week, and I just couldn't help but see that there was someone in there. So I just kind of naturally turned and looked, and I thought, what's she doing? And there was this lady. She was leaned up against the washing machine, and she was going like this, doing push-ups on the washing machine. I backed up and said, huh? Is it right down the hall? You know what else they got? A gym. Okay. Well, maybe she didn't have time to go to the gym, but she was washing clothes, and maybe she was in such a hurry that she wanted to be there when that final cycle quit so she could raise that lid up and put them in the dryer. So she was doing push-ups on the washing machine. I spoke to me. I thought, wow, I'm preaching this week on redeeming the time. That lady is redeeming the time. Maybe she didn't have time to do both wash and exercise. And then I go on down to the office and take care of my little item of business. And I couldn't help but just kind of check on her, you know, when I came by. She stopped push-ups and she's in front of the dryer now and she's... I thought, yeah, maybe that's what I need to do, okay? Maybe I need to help my wife wash. You know, come on, so praise the Lord. Pastor Joy's getting this. She's worshiping God. Bless her, Lord. Amen. What are you saying? What is the Holy Spirit saying to us today? Listen, if you're sitting here and you're saying, well, I heard what he said about the drinking. Or you're sitting here and say, man, I had three babies. I feel terrible. you got the wrong message, dude. I don't care if you're here and you had 7 children and you've never been married. Can I tell you, he loves you with an everlasting love. And all of your babies are a gift from God. And God's hand is upon every one of those children. And he has divine destinies assigned to their lives. Don't get the wrong message. Because listen, if I just soft pedal sin, you know what? You wouldn't have much of a preacher. Come on. If I just soft pedal sinful things, then you wouldn't have much of a preacher. I'm not going to stand in this pulpit and kind of rub over stuff and skip over stuff because I'm afraid to talk about it. No, sir. I'm not going to do that. Because one day, we're all going to be judged, and my judgment's harder than yours. Okay? Look at all these preachers here this morning. Come on, preachers, stand up. Ministers, stand up. Stand up. Stand up. These are people that will be judged with a greater judgment than the average Joe. Okay? You're going to give an account further than the rest of them. So you can't soft pedal sin. Well, you know, she puts a nice check in the plate. I don't care what she puts in the plate. Well, he got a good job. I know he's paying tithes. I don't care about the money. What I care about is one day I'm going to stand before God. And so I'm not going to take sin and kind of rock it in the cradle and say, it's all right, God understands. I'm just going to say it like it is. But if you get those messages and you stop right there in my sermons, you will forfeit what the Holy Spirit is trying to say to you today. Here's my message. You and I are all given time. The Holy Ghost just wants to ring your bell today and say, spend it wisely, man. Start tomorrow. Start tomorrow. You know, Pastor Joy and I'm not going to tell you how we do devotions because you'll say, well, that ain't nothing. I thought y'all got up and grabbed 6 commentaries, a gallon of coffee and water, and prayed for 2 hours before you left the house. I'm sorry to disappoint you. What we do doesn't take but just a short amount of time. Okay? We grab the book, and what we do is we listen to just a little short message from the Lord together. Scripture references, scripture spelled out, and we've adopted policies in our home that says, hey, these are some things you have to do before you get up and leave and go to work on Monday morning. You got to do it this way. And they're ours. You adopt yours. You make the most of the time God's given you. You may have to do it with earbuds in your ears. You may have to do your exercise while the clothes are drying. Okay? Make the most of your time. That's what the Holy Spirit is saying to you in this message. I wonder if there's anybody here today, Pastor, I appreciate the message on time, but I need a closer walk with Jesus. Would you please stand where you are? I appreciate the message on time, but I need a closer walk with Jesus. Would you stand where you are, please? Just right quickly. I need to make a reconnection to Christ. Stand right quickly. Anyone at all? Anyone at all? Praise God. Father, in Jesus' name, we give you thanks, Lord. We give you thanks, God, for saving us, redeeming us, giving us time. Lord, we're still here. We're still here, and that's evidence that you have something destined for our lives, purpose. You've got purpose in our lives. Would you help us to be good redeemers of time, making the most of it in the midst of an evil society in which we are alive? In Jesus' strong name. I wonder if you're here this morning, you'd say, Pastor, I just need somebody to agree with me in prayer on something. It might be sickness in your body. It might be the use of time, anything. Come on, just stand, come. Feel free to come. Someone will meet you here and pray with you. Maybe you need healing in your body. Just come.